And welcome to episode 21 of Keithan's Craft Collector. It's Christmas 2010 week. The blether is about all things free. We have the craft fairy, the Scottish segment where the Vikings are invading. I have the news, the hellos and the updates from the craft collective. The textile technique is how to make a penny. And I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place you download this from. So relax and get the links later. So now get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Free. Definition from the Collins English Dictionary is thus. And yes, I actually opened a dictionary and looked it up and typed it in. Free is an adjective, to able to act at will, not under compulsion or restraint, independent, generous, not in use. As this week sees Christmas and people are spending a lot of money on presents and food and festivities, I thought it would be nice if I talked about things that we can do or get for free. Which actually, when you think about it, isn't really an awful lot. I was thinking, oh, podcasts are free, but then sensible Ebenezer part of me thought, well, they are to download, but to get them you have to have internet access of some sort. Then you have to have a device of some sort to put them onto so that you can listen to them. And goodness knows that they aren't free. However, podcasters generally give their time and knowledge away freely. Some do have donation buttons on their blogs for costs towards the hosting or equipment, which is perfectly acceptable. Also, some have adverts on their podcast or on their blog. I mention my own business as advertisement, as who knows, you may wish to pay me for my engineering services. I also mention Music Alley for advertising, as I use their music for free. Well, I mention them, therefore I pay for it by doing so. This brings up something I want to mention to you before I make a decision. This episode was Christmas 2010, and if you're catching up then, never mind. But if you're listening just now and have an opinion on the next bit, please let me know. I got an email from Podbean, who are the hosts for the podcasts, and they have set up an advertising platform. This is so I can make money and advertise other people's products that are related to the podcast. I know many other podcasts do this and some are very good ones too. So it would be nice to get this sort of money for nothing type of thing, but then would I be selling my soul to the devil? My instinct just now is to say no, so anybody got an opinion, please let me know. I listened to my backlog of the Netflix podcast this week and it is utterly brilliant, very professional sounding and quite hilarious. And mentioned that they put in a donation button onto their site. Rick said, we have 30,000 downloads an episode, and if everybody donated $1, well, that's not bad. I kind of like their thinking, but then I'm only on 14,000. Mind you, I have 66 friends now. But isn't that a long way from only three people listening? David Reedy still beat me with 33,000. He doesn't know you all, though. And I'm sure he doesn't go in and look at your projects like I do. Anyway. I have no plans for donation buttons as I still sponsor myself for my own business, which is www.energyhunt.com for the Northern Highlands Premier Renewable Engineering Consultancy. Hehe, there's a bit of free publicity for me. Haha. Right, on to other things that are free. The view is free. No matter where you are or what you're doing, you will have a view of some sort, whether it is a wheelie bin in an alley or a panoramic view of Caithness as I do. Some do your soul good to look at them and marvel at creation and... Also, the wheelie bins can just be a way to keep the place tidy, but they are practical. And is it just me, or when you look at a view, do you look at the very, very distance and yearn to see past it? That's a bit of the bear goes over the mountain to see what he can see kind of thing. Free stuff. Sometimes people give you stuff that they don't want or need, and it can be free to you. I am often gifted materials or hand-me-down clothes for the bairns, and it's always very welcome and very much appreciated. I do hand things on myself, because if you get, you got to give. Like handing into charity shops when you're finished using for whatever. This brings me on neatly to FreeCycle. It's a place on the internet where you can hand things on to people that you could use when they are finished. If you want to try this, type in FreeCycle to your search engine and follow the links to your local group. They even have one up here, so worth a look to find things, and it's a good way to recycle stuff. Freedom means civil liberties. Martin Luther King gave the I Have a Dream speech on August 28th of 1963, and he ended it with, "And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, we will be free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last." And I have to say, he had a very good dream. Nelson Mandela walked free from 27 years imprisonment on 11th of February 1990, And I remember watching it and all the great things that he has gone on to. I very much admire Nelson. Mr. Mandela really, isn't he? And this year also saw Aung San Suu Kyi was free from her house arrest in Burma. May she carry on leading her country to something akin to South Africa is now. Closer to home, in the film Braveheart, badly dramatising the great William Wallace, where Mel Gibson was painted blue, no, Daisy was not in the film set because she had not been born then. But he immortalises the shouting of freedom just before he goes and kicks the invaded English army's butts. He has a terrible accent this, but it was a good speech. Education used to be free in the UK, and now only in Scotland. And I rather feel that Nick Clegg will not be getting sent very many nice Christmas cards this year after reneging on his election pledge of no tuition freeze. I'm glad that I'm not in the government, but I have to say, Nick, poor, poor show. Shame on you. Free craft stuff. There are loads and loads of sites on the internet for downloading patterns for knitting, crochet, cross-stitch, embroidery, layouts for scrapbooks, information galore, and people are pretty generous on their giving their work for free. And ideas are free inspirational craft on Etsy to give your ideas on or people's blogs. There are oodles and oodles of blogs. If you go to anyone's blog spot at the top, there's a bar where you can click on the next or previous. And I do this occasionally just to see where I end up. I found some very interesting, also not so interesting, stuff. Sometimes you just gotta get out there and it doesn't matter whether anybody reads or listens to you or not. Although it is kinda nice when they do, so hello. Free in life to do. Hugs, rainbows, walks, making snowmen, paddling on the seashore and collecting shells, climbing a tree. It's often the little things that make us the happiest. If you're stressed to pot at work, and yes, life is stressful, sometimes the only thing to do when you get home is play with a toddler who'll cut you down to size, because their main focus in life is whether you're going to play on the swing or on the chute, or kick the ball, or play with Dolly. Just kicking a ball about the garden can completely de-stress you in ways that you never knew how. The public library is free. You can access the internet, borrow books and spend as much time as you want for free in the UK. I very much love both Wick and Thurso libraries. I'm actually going to cover them a bit more in future episodes. FreeSat. We have free satellite courtesy of our very good friends A1Aerials.tv from the borders of Scotland. We did have a free view, but the signal wasn't very good, and when our A1 aerial friends came to visit us, they brought them with them a satellite dish and a free sat box. This means that I get lots of channels on my fancy telly. Not that I watch it much, but the bairns do. And I also did have to get past the fact that FreeSat doesn't have Fiverr or 5USA channel, because always they would have a rerun of CSI or NCIS. But I'm very grateful to my friends from the borders, and here's some free publicity for them. www.a1aerials.tv for all your aerial needs in the borders in Northumberland. Type in A1 aerials if you're in need around that area. Money, That's What I Want is a 1959 single written by Barrett Strong and covered by many, many, many people, including the Beatles, and has the line, "The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for birds and bees. I want money. Yeah, that's what I want." However, that is not this week's song, as it is Whatever by Oasis. And the first line, which is why I've chosen it for this week's song, is, "I'm free to be whatever I choose, I'll sing the blues if I want." I like Oasis, they remind me of my youth. I was an indie chick once, don't you know. So if buying presents and trying to get the right thing for the right person is getting you down a bit, try to take a step back and think, is there anything that I can give them that's a bit more personal this year? I've made some lemon curd, and Mum, Mother-in-Law and Sarah are all recipients of it. Remember I was going on about the lemon curd? Well, I was gifted, for free, to me, 4 lemons, and I made my lemon curd that I was on about. I know a lot of you will be madly knitting for something for gifts, and I hope you all manage it. You've not got long yet. My hat for hubby has not yet happened, so more on that later. You could do a IOU something token for something like as droll as doing the hoovering or taking your dog for a walk or knitting you something for my stash. You could write them a song like Elton John's Your Song, nicely covered just now by Ellie Goulding. I like her version, but I prefer Ewan McGregor's from Moulin Rouge better. Sometimes the best gifts can be the free ones. Albeit Santa is getting me a spinning wheel this year, so whatever you do, enjoy yourselves. Just don't max out that credit card, okay? Right, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back after, because it's time for the Sandy laugh this week.
I can pee myself. Craft Fairy.
Right, Craft Fairy segment. Sandrada from Twitter rightly pointed out something. I had been saying that I had been making snowmen Christmas cards, and on some of them I'd written "let it snow." So was it my fault that Britain has been covered in snow twice now? And yes, we know everybody else in the world gets snow, but Britain does not prepare for it because we normally have mild winters, and you can't forecast, right, we're getting it on the start of November and it's not going away to me, because it never works that way. And so therefore we don't prepare for it and everything grinds to a halt, and it is horrendous when you're trying to get somewhere for Christmas. If you are trying to get somewhere, I hope you get there. So was it my fault that Britain had lots of snow? Sandrada said it might have been the Craft Fairy's fault. So I have since caught the wee minx and shut her in the crayon box and marked don't release until springtime. That's a Craft Fairy, not Sandrada. She did work her magic before her hibernation, because Knitting Kitten now has a spinning wheel to practice on, and we were persuading her hubby to get a new one. And if you're listening to this now, Gary, your wife would love you forever. You would be a lovely husband. That's a subliminal message for Gary, because he was listening to me the other day. Right, where was it? The wheel I had borrowed from Caroline, who said then I would pass it on to Knitting Kitten, has recently learned to spin. So off it went. I put a few rags in to get her started, and of course she's already brought some proper blue-faced Leicester from Forest Fibres on eBay, and has already knitted it. So good for her. Sending get well wishes to anyone who has a cold or isn't feeling okay. I know Hoxton Handmade had quite a bad cold, so I'm glad that she's back podcasting again, but hopefully she'll get over it properly for Christmas. Daisy is currently cutting teeth and a little bit ratty, so I send my get well wishes to my bairn. Hello section. Big breath. I've had quite a few new listeners thanks to Knit a Journey interview and also from a recommendation from Coggy TM's High Fibre Diet podcast. Thank you very, very much to both of them. Susan, I am glad that Dash is enjoying snow frisbee. My Quattro is enjoying the same. Coggy, she made me laugh about the way she described tuning into my accent. Hello to you if you are a new listener, and if you can't understand me, don't worry. I can't even understand myself either, sometimes. But if you do get stuck, I have a glossary in the Podbean webpage, or message me, I'll explain. I would like to say a big hello to Coggy and Sarge over Christmas, because he's still working over in Afghanistan, and she's on her 100th episode for the High Fibre Diet podcast, which is a brilliant thing to do. Also to anyone who has a loved one in the armed forces working away this Christmas. Hello to Paula from Knitting Pipeline podcast, as she's been having some Scottish banter with me on Ravelry. We have now been joined Finland, Iraq, Kuwait, Switzerland, Panama, Croatia, Argentina, Poland, Slovakia, Hong Kong, Austria, and the United Nations of Crafting. Do you know, I show little Sandy on his world map in his bedroom all these places around the world, and he thinks it's great, and it's quite a good way of learning him geography. These are over and above who I've already mentioned, and I would really like to hear from anybody in Scotland. Welcome to Caithness. I've got a few new time zones to program into my phone. Big breath again. Hello to Rabies on My Shoe, who has the most handsome German Shepherd. Melanie Andra, who is in Italy. Wombat Knitter, who is my geek incarnate. Jelly J, who has cool shoes. Acanthus, who is the most gracious way of messaging. Lola Bud, who has a lovely silky shawl. Leafy Dragon, who is warm in Australia, and I'm not jealous. I'm not. That's exactly what it says on my script. Lisa Lynn, who is so kind, oh, she would make you cry to read her messages, they're lovely. And our very own Hoot Nanny, who is my Naomi from Craft Group, and who have joined the group in Ravelry. I love the messages and your project pages. Melanie Andra has taken it to heart by messaging me nearly every day, and it's brilliant. I love checking. I'll just check my Ravelries just to see if I've got a message, and there it is. So I know what she's up to. It's good. Although I do know what the rest of you are up to, because I'm looking over your shoulders currently right now, and Coggy, you've dropped the stitch. Hello to the new Twitters. Tweet me, I'll say hello, and tweet back. I love these messages too. New section. Drive-by friending. Well, I went and I clicked Be My Friend to people who have three projects the same as me in Ravelry, and I report back that absolutely nobody accepted. So how did you all get on? I've had a couple of people drive by Friend B, but not the ones that I had asked, so hello to Bob Magoo and Nick Jazz. Carry on. I do like to get messages, so even if you're just saying hello, go on and that's it. Don't be shy. Also, after loading up the last episode, I was doing the befriending and I noticed on the new groups that there was a Wizard of Oz swap group that I joined. The group is open to anyone and it would be grand to see any of you in it too. The more the merrier. It's like, come on, be my friend. You know you want to. So it says about the Wizard of Oz swap. You might love her, you might hate her, but the Wicked Witch of the West is your classic villain that in her own way is lovable. I wouldn't say that. This swap is anything you would like in a package that is associated with the Wicked Witch, along with one knitted item. The items must not exceed $35, and that's £27 because I got Hubby to figure me that out. If the exchange moves between now and then, I'm stuffed. If you would like to sign up for the Wicked Witch of the West swap, please reply on there, and if you're willing to ship internationally or US or both. All swappers for this swap must sign up by 15th of January and be notified no later than the 16th of January of who they are sending to, and the packages must be shipped out no later than the 20th of February. I'm currently thinking up what I'm going to put in my package. So I'm thinking greens and blacks and reds, and the red for her love of the ruby slippers, and her mouth always looks so red against the greenness of her face. Plus, I have just realised that I have to make something as well as put yarny things into the package. Eee-hee-hee, I'll get you my pretty, and your little dog too. And for all of those having problems getting all the backlog of my podcasts, I asked Podbean and they said it's okay for those using Firefox, i.e. me, but not so for using Internet Explorer, i.e. mum. They have told me something technical about tags and finding which episode hasn't a tag closed, which is causing the problem. Some of you will just be nodding your heads and understanding here, but the rest of you, i.e. me, won't be. And I've fiddled and I thought I'd fixed it, but it hasn't so far. And I reckon it was episode 17, and I've got a bit of admin to do with them. So if for some reason episodes appear, then disappear, then appear again, it's me actually trying to fix it. If you're subscribing through iTunes, you should be able to get them all back through to episode 3 or 4. It was 3 on my mum's iTunes and 4 on mine. I think it depends on what version you have. I completely understand if you don't do iTunes, because I didn't till March, and that was purely because of this podcast. Try the RSS catcher feedy thingy button, but apparently they aren't all there either. So goodness me, this is getting complicated. I will keep fiddling, and I was thinking of reloading episodes 1 to 4 completely onto iTunes. So it may mean that they appear one day out of order, but at least they are there, and if you want to hear them. I also want to get the Internet Explorer bit sorted first. So, as ever, bear with me.
Scottish segment.
This Scottish segment. Right, now, where were we? Last time I talked about Gododdin. Do you remember Gododdin? I opened a book and I thought, oh, I'd forgotten about Gododdin. Purely because I had such a good time saying Gododdin and King Malcolm in the south of Scotland. And funnily enough, the craft fairy was waving her wand because I follow Ask Scotland on Twitter and it comes up with historical facts about Scotland's kings and people and important things and dates. And King Malcolm's birthday was very recent. Now, get your longboats, your horned helmets and axes ready. It's time for the Viking invasion. For hundreds of years, the inhabitants of Scotia used to pray to be delivered from the fury of the Vikings, but many were not. The Vikings did not even spare the holy island of Iona, yarn salad. As in 825 AD, they massacred the entire community. Not very nice. Mind you, not all of them were like Hagar the Horrible, and quite a lot of them came as immigrants because there was little room for them at their home. And they settled in Orkney and Shetland, the Hebrides and the Northern Highlands, Caithness being one of the places. The Cait element of Caithness is actually Pictish or Godelic in origin, but the origin of Caithness is Norse and may be read as horn or nose of Cait. The Gaelic name, Galav, means among the foreigners, meaning the Norse. The Cait element of Caithness is represented as Cat in Cativ, the Gaelic name for Sutherland, Cate, the old Irish for Shetland, Kingdom of Cate, was one of the seven Pictish kingdoms in Alba and is believed to have been the area of Caithness in Sutherland. Aye, that's from Wikipedia. So these Vikings brought their own customs and art and their own way of burying the dead, putting them in the grave and the body valuable things for the spirit's journey. These Scottish Vikings were mainly fishermen and farmers. Now, get this, Orkney and Shetland remained in Viking control until 1486, when they were handed back to Scotland as part of the dowry of the Kings of Norway's daughter on her marriage to James III of Scotland. And they actually knew this. And even better, they are only lent back until Norway could raise the monies to buy them back, which they have never done. It is still very prevalent today by the fact that most of the places' names are Norse, and also a lot of the names of the people reflect it, such as Magnus, Erland, etc. Thurso is from the god Thor, and Wick means bay. Shetland has Uphelia every January, which is a fire festival to mark the end of Yule. Here, it's Midwinter's Day tomorrow as I'm recording this on the 20th. So, woohoo, summertime is coming, summertime is coming. Get up, ye southern hemisphere, it's your turn now. Sorry, got a bit distracted there. Granny G, it's coming to you. Right, so that's the Vikings. On to the Normans next episode. I'll have to find a cool tune for them. Right, on to my craft collective, as in the ones that I do craft with. As in, well, I call this Caithness Craft Collective, and I do actually mean by all the little groups that I go to that they're the collective, because it's not just me that does the craft, because that would really get a bit boring. So, Caithness Textile Artists. The last one of the year was very quiet, but I handed back in Dorothy's Round Robin. More on that shortly. Joan has finished sewing in her Celtic knotted quilt, which had been tacked on until recently, and it looks really good without the white tacking onto it. It's got a lot of definition now. She's going to shadow quilt the Celtic knot and then put the binding on, and it is going to be a present. Helen was still at her circle sampler, which is in the most glorious pinks and jade colours. One of them is a 6-inch square. She has a circle sewn down threads. She has kept all her cut-off threads for many projects into a jar, and then she has made them into a sampler. This is a good technique, and I'll do it in the future, because today we are making a penny. So the textile technique this week is making the penny that I have mentioned a few times. When I think of a penny, I think of my grandma's one. It was a blue housecoat, and she was never out of it. Mum has the same penny as she did when I was little. It's made from that material that wipes clean like tablecloths. We all need one for when we're getting messy with food or crafting. Even when you're spinning, you could do with one for over your knees to keep your clothes from being covered in fibres. I have a wee story for you about Grandma's apron. The principal use of Grandma's apron was to protect the dress underneath, but along with that it served as a holder for removing hot pans from the oven. It was wonderful for drying children's tears, and on occasion was even used for cleaning out dirty ears. From the chicken coop, the apron was used for carrying eggs, fussy chicks, and sometimes half-hatched eggs to be finished in the warming oven. When company came, those aprons were ideal hiding places for any shy bairns, and when the weather was cold, Grandma wrapped it around her arms. Those big, old aprons wiped away many a perspiring brow bent over the hot wood stove. Chips and kindling wood were brought into the kitchen in that apron. From the garden, it carried all sorts of vegetables. After the peas had been shelled, it carried out the hulls. In the autumn, the apron was used to bring in apples that had fallen from the trees. When unexpected company drove up the road, it was surprising how much furniture that old apron could dust in a matter of seconds. When dinner was ready, Grandma walked out onto the porch, waving her apron, and the men knew it was time to come in from the fields to dinner. It'll be a long time before anyone invents something that will replace that old-time apron. It serves so many purposes. I have actually found your tutorial from www.craftygal.com, and it's in the archives, but I've got the show link for you. I like this one, and it's green gingham and a bit Wizard of Oz-ish. So you need 3 yards of material, 2 in one colour and 1 in another, so if you want a contrast. You need thread to match, scissors, a tape measure, a pencil or chalk for marking material, pins, hand sewing needle for finishing touches, rickrack or other trim if desired, and an iron. Actually, I had copied out the instructions, but yeah, they didn't really make great podcast material because it does go on a bit, so I will refer you to the instructions online. Basically, you're measuring a lot, measure, and then cut, and you'll end up with a very glamorous apron of much loveliness. So, you've penny for crafty making Christmas dinner or being a 50s glamorous throwback, done, a la Gordon Ramsay. Although I have kind of cheated and not told you how to do it. But this tutorial would tell you much better than I ever could. And it wasn't actually so much as a textile technique as in something that we need to do all our textile techniques. So come on, get with the program. Spinning. I didn't get to spinning again due to weather and other things, but Rachel did, and she took along Caroline's old wheel that I had had for a borrow and is now on its way to teach Rachel how to spin before Rachel gets her own wheel. Subliminal message for Gary. Get Rachel a wheel for Christmas. She'll love you more. End of subliminal message. She was all excited to get it, and she has already purchased some fibre from Forest Fibres on eBay. I've already said this. She has since made enough yarn to start knitting with. Very impressive. The reason that she has the wheel now is because my Ash for Joy was delivered. Not by the craft fairy, who is now languishing in the crayon box somewhere warm, but my lovely postie Sammy, who has been working long hours and lots of snow these past few weeks. I really like Sammy because sometimes he's the only adult I speak to and gets it in the ear. But he's always cheerful. He'll go the extra mile, checks in the elderly around here in the winter and delivers me my lovely post. Which, actually, I got a letter from America from one of you lovely listeners. So thank you, LP Star. Can you hear me smiling when I say that? It was lovely. I cuddled it. Anyway, Joy, the spinning wheel, has now come to live with me. She's currently sitting underneath the bed where I'm sitting just now, and she's looking at me, wanting out to play. I did have a bit of a bother with the tension, and I asked Beth and Jill from Sandy Spinners, where I got it from, for a bit of advice, and they very generously and swiftly gave it me. And they don't have to do this, but it seems to be that if you're in the spinning or the knitting community, you want other people to get the same thrill as you do. Very much thanks to them, and Christmas greetings to them. I love the practicality-ness of the Joy. It has a built-in lazy Kate, the bobbins live there, and the whorl, can hardly say that word, is easily stored, and the whole thing folds up and is easily transportable in its bag. And the bit I like best is when you take it out of the bag, it smells like my guitar. And I've got two bobbins waiting to be plied already, albeit I was having a little bit bother with the plying. I'll get there. On to Vimto Group. The last Vimto of the year, and it was party night, so no crafting to report other than the round robin swapping. We had plenty of party games, and these included post-it note on the forehead with a Christmas character on it. I was the Angel Gabriel, which I didn't guess. I'm really bad at that game. ABC of Christmas, love your lemons, hence I got four lemons for lemon card. A Christmas and craft quiz. Chinese whispered charades, which was hilarious. You have to try that one. Pass the parcel left and right game. I wrote a script for this and I had help recording it and played it on the night. You sit with your parcel in front of you all in your group, like around your table, and if I say right, pass it to your right, and if I say left, pass it to your left. I'll now play you the audio, which might be a bit louder than this, so watch you don't get your eardrums blown off when my help pipes in. Hello. Christmas 2010 Vimto Pass the Parcel with Daisy.
Hi, Daisy. Christmas.
Right, well, here we are again at Vimto's Christmas night. Thank you for coming and hope that you are left with a lovely crafting from your fellow Vimtoer. It may be from the right of you or the left of you. I don't rightly know, but you will be left with something nice. This year has been very busy. Just you. This year has been very busy at Vimto. We all took a right hanker for the knitting. Pins were going right and left and right. Sarah and Naomi made some in the round bags, which were very pretty. They looked it up on YouTube as they kept getting their left and their right needles the wrong way round, twisting the knitting, but once they got it right, they were right away, and are now left with quite a few that they can sell or give to their fellow Vimtoers. Yeah. Imogen made some lovely bath bombs with Karen, and you should have seen them stirring in the essential oils. Right and left, round and round, left and right went that spoon. It's not smelling of much, said Karen. Put a bit more in, said Imogen. There's loads left in the bottle. That would, said Karen. Yes, that's right, said Imogen, who left the stirring to Karen.
Nah.
Well, when the water went into the mixing, we think you could smell it right along the wayside road, and any ships passing Dunnet Head that night would have left with the impression of very clean Caithnesians. In March... In March, Louise... You're funny. In March, Louise decided to write a podcast of her crafting exploits, and it left a few of the Vimpros puzzled, but now accept that Louise will write things into the podcast if they make her laugh enough. Next year, Louise would like to interview each of you for it and is warning you now, before you write it off. Joanna left Vimpro for a while to have PD Michael, but she's right back now after only 4 months off. That's dedication for you, a right true Vimp to her. Louise was delighted as she had knitted a wee bunny jumper for Michael, but as she got right stuck on the rib collar, she cheated and left it with her mother to finish, which she did, and Michael looks right handsome in it. At the Canisby show, Vimto did very well, and with Mrs. With Mrs. Lyons turning out a right stunning photo of a Caithness sunset looking over the Firth. I wasn't sure if it was the left to her house or the right to her house, but it certainly left me in awe. Jenny, of course, left with lots of rosettes, as did Vicky, and rightly so. The sheep did well, and Al took some cracking photos of them. At the county show, Mrs. Dunnett was in attendance and gave everyone a right laugh with her prize-winning cake. Louise did nothing for either, but next year thinks that we should all enter something and have it as a project for Vimto's spring months. Sarah's exempt due to the small arrival we're expecting right before lambing time. And it's not a sheep. In the summer holidays, Karen left these shores for Sweden, where she was right spoilt by her mother all summer. Vimto then took right off again in autumn time with new members Rachel and Caroline joining us. Rachel is an expert knitter who can tell her right from her left when it comes to socks. Louise did try to steal her sock needles, but Rachel noticed when she left and as she took them with her. Louise still tries to steal these needles, but Rachel always counts them. She's a right meanie. Pause for slap from Rachel. Louise, Sarah and Naomi went to Dyer's Spinners and Weaving Guild's exhibition once... One sunny September afternoon. They went right round the exhibition and Louise then made Sarah and Naomi go first for a shot on the spinning wheel. They felt like right dafties, but Louise looked the daftest in the photos, as you can see her roots in her dyed hair, so they got their own right back. They got to dye with Kool-Aid and all left with a bit of wool to take home. Caroline taught Louise, Rachel and Al to spin. The wheel went right round and a new craze was born. Caroline left Louise the wheel to practice on and Louise has gone right mad as she's now bought her own one. Al has started writing a blog on his sheepy exploits called The Monochrome Sheep. He uses it as a place to write down his thoughts of his sheepy experiences. I am now left with a need to photograph his devil-looking sheepies as my brother did one summer's day. We are just about finished a round-robin scarf to keep us cosy this winter. Caroline, the right artistic one, who should do a city in guilds, left a wee presentation card in each bag when everyone left a memory of their part of the scarf. We look forward to them being finished and shall get some photos of us wearing them. We'd better get a right good photographers onto it. So Sarah, Caroline, Naomi, Al, get those cameras clicking. Jenny was a right star at the Christmas craft fair as she had a right good idea for little plaques with funny sayings on them that could be easily personalised. Lots of people left with these and Jenny was left with lots of money. Until Abby and Lindsay spent it for her, that is. Vicky has learned how to needle felt and gave us all heart attacks when using the scary needle. She's got a right knack for it though, and I think she'll be one to watch next year. Today we are all being silly and not crafting, but enjoying ourselves with Love Your Lemons game, and you'll be left with lovely smelling hands. We are also doing the Sergeant Major game, where you will be having to keep moving right and left around the table. We've got the Stealing game, where you'll be left with a wonderful prize of some sort, but be careful because it could get stolen from under your nose. So thank you one and all for listening to this tale of Vimto. I hope that it left with you a few memories and you'll be right back next year for more crafting. So the parcel that is now left in front of you is for you and I hope you write like it. Merry Christmas. Did you enjoy that? Yes. That was Vimto. And myself, yes, because it is the Me 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 show. I was mainly doing the Christmas cards with it being Christmas. Hubby helped me enormously, so thanks to him. In stamping the message on, he drew the snowman's buttons and eyes on, and I drew the rest of their noses and twiggy arms. All of them have different, and I do fear that I brought about the snow, so apologies to you all. Anyway, They all had lovely handmade envelopes, which I tried to match appropriately to the person I was sending them to. My Uncle James got a garden one. My brother got a seal because he doesn't like them. The Barons all got puffins or penguins, and my brother-in-law got a golfing one. I posted them last Sunday, well in time for the second-class post, and I know that they have been delivered in the non-snowing time of the week. Plus, I heard them all going, "Wee!" Yes, they went into the postbox. They did. They spoke to me. I had the round robin from textile artists, and it was Dorothy's piece called In the Forest Something Stirred. It was a green and yellow from a folded hand-dyed piece. They were stamped animals from Helen, and Dorothy had embroidered a tree into the pattern. I carried on this theme and stamped on a squirrel in the tree and then some ducks heading towards a pond that I had oil crayoned on. I had Lisa's round robin scarf, and it was a red black flake double knit, to which I added on a black grey aran weight in a lace pattern. I had thought hers was an aran weight and it wasn't, but the tension kind of was alright. I did want to put on some fuzzy fur, but hubby, who is my design guru, said that it wouldn't match. I suppose he was right in the end, but I still think you need a bit of bling. I will make a handbag from this leftover ball of Wendy sheet yet. Not this Christmas though, Rudolph. I've also knitted on Jenny's pink round robin scarf. It was in chunky pink, and I didn't have anything chunky that matched, so I put a pink DK weight with a purple Debbie Bliss baby cashmerino together and a dead garter stitch on size 7mm, and it just took a couple of hours. I still have a scarf from Jenny's mum of brown fuzzy fur to finish off for her. I managed to get back to where I had ripped it back to because I had lost the stitch where I had started, and it's just garter stitch away. It's actually nice to have something just to put a couple of rows in for mindless knitting. So, I also have Rachel's round robin, which is really bonny in natural browns and greys. I had a rake around my stash to think that nothing matches better than the hand-spun brown Jacob that is earmarked for Hubby's Not for Christmas hat, which means I'll have to card and spin some more up. What a bind, eh? Did I tell you about the neck warmer I had half done? I think I did. Well, I spun more of that blue acrylic fibre that I had bought in Orkney. I have on my Ravelry list in my library a neck warmer in herringbone stitch, which I have half knitted. This is the yarn that is currently on the bobbins of joy. I like that, the bobbins of joy. I was having a bother plying it, so I'll go fresh to it tomorrow night. Oh, and wait till I tell you about Santa Cam. As I have two small children who are very excited about Christmas and up to high dough recently, we had Santa phone in the house to check that Sandy had eaten his dinner. And my friend suggested that we set up a Santa cam so he can get the elves to keep an eye on Sandy eating his dinner. Now, did you know that you can get Santa cams from Tesco's for £2 in a snow globe? Obviously, these are high tech and work when shook at dinner time. And I'm pleased to say that it is working and the Bairns have been good since Santa Cam came to our house. Who knew Santa used such things? I wish I had. Last year. Deezy still doesn't pay any attention to it, but she likes to wave at Santa. Also, I'm wanting to put in a next episode before Hogmanay, so I'll have to work on that. And it'll be an extra one, and then I might take a week off, but I might not. We're planning open between Christmas and New Year, and I'll manage to do it there. And also I want to play my spinning wheel. So that's me. I would like to finish by wishing you all a very happy Christmas, whether you celebrate the true meaning of it or not. I hope that you all have a joyous time with your family and friends. Sincerely. I will be remembering the reason for the season this year and say happy birthday to Jesus. Right, thank you for listening, and if you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt or on Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt or CaithnessCraftCollective@googlemail.com. And you can leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and on Twitter as caithnesscraft. All the links are on the show notes, so go there and click anything you want more information on. The music this week is a very beautifully sung Silent Night by Alison Crowe from www.musicalley.com playing us out. And it's really lovely. Cheers for listening and keep on crafting.
Silent night, holy night. Jesus, Lord.